Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is the plan for Dak today? Will he be in the rehab group with the quarterback school?
Dak Prescott will be in the rehab group to start off with, but then he'll go through quarterback school, and he will do some light throwing at the end of practice.
As you stand here right now, Cooper is starting Sunday against the Eagles.
We are preparing for Cooper to start against the Eagles.
Cooper Rush, Sunday night, NBC. Yet again, starting for the Cowboys. He is 4-0 this year, 5-0 for his career as the starter in place of Dak Prescott. And the Cowboys are winning. We know it's not Cooper Rush playing like the brothers of Cooper Manning. We know that it's a total team effort, but they're still winning. They're winning. And they have found this sweet spot where they can keep riding this current formula while Dak Prescott gets back to 100%. And it's clear, Chris, he's not 100%. And I think if he's not going to play this weekend, just wait until after the bye. Bears and Lions on tap. They can beat the Bears and Lions with Cooper Rush. Kick it through until week 10 when you go to Green Bay. And then presumably you've got Dak Prescott at 100%.
Well, I don't totally disagree with you there. You're right. I mean, it's the big thing is just why rush it? Why? You know, and if we're just starting to throw and Jerry Jones makes, you know, hey, grip, you know, he's made comments about the grips is going to be the thing we got to look at, and he's got to be able to really spin it. That tells me he can't really spin it right now. So that he's not there yet. And again, they're going to need him, as we've talked about a lot. Yeah, Cooper Rush has done a very good job. There's no doubt about it. But he's just a part of a rolling, high-functioning machine right now in Dallas. And when the guy's open, he's hitting them. He's not doing anything above and beyond that. And, you know, that's fine. He doesn't have to. But at some point, they're going to need a quarterback that can do something beyond that and above and beyond that. And that's where Dak Prescott will come and play. But yeah, they're going to be able – the way their team is, they're going to be able to compete with anybody at quarterback, because they're just – you can't overmatch them up front. They got playmakers. They got speed. And their defense – Mike, this is where I can't wait to watch it this weekend, and I know we're watching Cooper Rush and all that, but, I mean, I want to see how good – I know the Dallas defense is good, right? We know it's top five-ish, and I don't think it's going to leave there, top five-ish, top ten-ish. But I'm getting to the verge, like, are we watching, like, maybe the 2015 Broncos, where they can't even – you know, offense is just average, but the defense scores a touchdown and sets up a short field every game, like the Jacksonville Jaguars of 2017, where it's just going to be like, yeah, every game they score a touchdown or at least give the offense the ball at the 10-yard line. I mean, that's where we're on the verge of with Dallas, where I'm very excited to see them match up against this Eagles offense this weekend.
We spent some time talking about Odell Beckham Jr. Also, last segment, we had the draft yesterday of the teams we'd like to see sign him, and the Cowboys were one of the ones I picked, and That could goose the offense in Dallas a little bit when Dak comes back and maybe the planets line up in December and he ends up wearing that blue star on the side of his helmet. Let's have a listen to both Micah Parson and Trayvon Diggs, two of the key defensive players in Dallas, on Jalen Hurts and the rest of the Philadelphia offense.
They really don't have a weakness. I think they have three really good receivers. They got a great group of backs. They got a quarterback who's been pretty phenomenal this year in terms of continuing plays, making big plays. He made a big jump from last year. It's a big challenge. We played some really good offenses, so, you know, I think we up to it. We just got to go out there and fight.
I see that he's a lot better from last year. You know, I play with him. I know how hard he works. You know, I know his work ethic. I know he's always going to get better every year, you know. So, you know, we just got to be prepared, you know. He's doing really good this season, and we just got to come ready.
Where have you seen the improvement that he's made?
His decision making, his making the right decisions, throwing the ball, his running abilities, you know, everything, his whole game increased. So.
And Trayvon Diggs is absolutely right. Jalen Hurts, I believe, becoming a franchise quarterback before our eyes. Now, is it because he's got phenomenal help around him,
yeah,
coupled with a great defense, but he's still playing much better than I ever thought that he would. And hopefully this has shut down the ongoing, never-ending quest by the Eagles to upgrade over Jalen Hurts. And they're going to have to upgrade whether they're thinking about paying him after the season, the way that he's been playing this year and the way the team is going. So we'll see. This is going to be a hell of a test.
Yeah, it is.
I've gone back and forth on who I like in this one. We'll make our picks in the Joint Mega Picks podcast later today. We'll be locked and loaded for Sunday Night Football. Chris will reserve the right to change his pick come Sunday night. Maybe he will, maybe he won't.
I never have.
This one, I know, but you've thought about it.
I did.
You've been tempted.
That Kansas City one, because of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, down in Miami in practice all week, that was the first time ever I was very tempted to pull the ripcord there.
We've still got some time, though, to make our final decision, and this one isn't going to be easy. It's not going to be easy for Jason Peters either. He's going to hear it from the Eagles fans. He had some choice things to say about the Cowboys when he was with the Eagles. He had some things to say about Eagles fans yesterday. Now, this isn't the unrated NSFW version of what Peters said. Apparently, that was not posted by the Cowboys on their website.
Damn.
A little bit what
Come on.
Peters had to say yesterday about playing the Eagles back in Philly.
Just keep your blinders on. Put the earplugs in because, you know, the crowd going to be in it. They're going to be blurting out all kind of crazy stuff at you. Might even be throwing stuff. So just got to, you know, trust your preparation during the week and keep your blinders, keep your head down, and just go play ball. Not really. You know, them fans, they so wild. They might go to throwing stuff at me. So I'm not expecting nothing worse than them throwing stuff at me.
Keep your helmet on. Keep your helmet on. That was the advice that Jack Lambert once gave Tony Dungy when the Steelers were playing the Browns in Cleveland. Keep your helmet on no matter what. And Tony tells a great story about it because something happened with Jack Lambert during the game, and he actually had his helmet off, and he was swinging it at Browns players. They got into a fight,
right?
And he got ejected, and Coach Dungy said to Lambert, "Hey, I thought you said keep your helmet on."
That's great.
but yeah, Jason Peters, unless you're – don't swing. We don't condone swinging the helmet, so I'm not even going to make that crack. Just keep your helmet on,
yeah,
in Philadelphia. Probably good advice for any member of any opposing team, especially if you've played for the Eagles. And it doesn't matter why or how you left. Poor Jalen Reagor. He was a failure there, and they fired him. And he still got booed that Monday night that he was back with the Vikings. Every time he was on the field for Minnesota, he got booed relentlessly as if he pulled, you know, a T.O. and forced his way out of town.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the Philly fans are awesome. I mean, they're as passionate as it gets. It's you know, one of the more interesting experiences you can ever be a part of in the NFL when you go to a game in Philadelphia. It is. I mean, it's they're passionate, they're brutal, they'll say a lot of creative, crazy things, and they can be very mean as well. And you do have to keep your head on a swivel. There's no doubt about that. You know,
But
yeah.
They did not boo Doug Peterson.
No.
I have to acknowledge that.
Well, and I would.
They gave him a standing ovation.
That's where I was going to go with Jason Peters. Like, he's the best left tackle in the history of their organization, right? I mean, he was a huge part of them winning the Super Bowl. I just can't imagine them being too angry at him. Yeah, they parted ways. What?
He's playing for the Cowboys.
I know.
I mean, if Doug Peterson was the Cowboys coach, I don't think
it would add to the fuel.
Ovation.
You're right. There's nobody they hate more than the Cowboys for sure. But that's just, you know, another element that adds to this game. And then you know, it's just that, and like we were talking about a minute ago, that great defense against what you heard Trayvon Diggs and Michael Parsons talk about, an offense that really doesn't have a weakness. And the one thing Dallas did last year in their first matchup against them was, and I think Philadelphia dropped the ball a little bit, Philadelphia didn't run the ball. They threw the ball too much and really got manhandled in Dallas early on in the football season. That's one my one little issue with Philadelphia. And you've heard me say this, I think, a few weeks in a row. They're a little too quick to go, let's throw the ball, let's throw the ball, let's throw the ball. And I'm going to go, your offensive line is dominant. Let's play through that a little bit more here. And there's at times where I feel like they do get a little bit pass happy. But at the same time, it's the formula's working. And like you said, Jalen Hurts has been good. There's no doubt. I'm still not like, oh my gosh, Jalen Hurts, this is amazing. The game is very easy for him because the team is phenomenal. I mean, you can watch a game, right? Like, I was watching the Washington game on film yesterday because I wanted to go back and get another feel for Washington and all that. And I went there, and his stats were good. But you watch the game, and you go, I don't know if he really threw one big-time NFL pass the whole game. He threw four jump balls where his guys went up and made unbelievable catches and got it, and then he threw a bunch of screens. And so that's where, you know, I get people that tweet at me, like, why don't you consider him like Mahomes or Josh Allen? I'm like, are we on the same planet? Are we watching the same game? One guy's on a team that's borderline all-star team. The other two guys are – they do everything for the team. They are the team. Everything goes through them. And – that's where he's solidified himself as the starting quarterback of the Eagles and in the NFL. It's just, to me now, let's evaluate how good is it, you know, how much money does he get. All of those things are going to be, I think, dictated by what we see here as we go on through the season.
You mentioned Allen and Mahomes. They will be the course before that Cowboys-Eagles showdown on Sunday Night Football. 4-1 Bills, 4-1 Chiefs. The Bills, 3-point favorites. And look, the regular season game doesn't matter. This is how I sold Cowboys-Eagles earlier in the week. With Cowboys-Eagles, we really don't know how good these teams are. We know the Bills and Chiefs are good, and we know they're on a collision course to meet again in the postseason. This one doesn't matter, other than to maybe help determine where the rematch is played.
Exactly.
Although last year it didn't matter. The Bills won in the regular season, and they still had to go back to Kansas City for the playoff game. But first time ever, Chris, Patrick Mahomes in his NFL career is an underdog at home. That's the kind of thing that he'll shrug about it, but you know it's got to burn him that he's considered as not the favorite to win a game in his stadium. That's going to give him a little extra kick. I don't know if it's going to matter, but it's going to give him a little extra kick. Not that he needs it against a team like the Bills and Josh Allen.
Yeah, I know, but they like the extra kick in Kansas City. They do. They like it. And I think, you know, like you just said right there at the end, the real kick is he knows who's coming to town. He knows it's the only guy that's like, you know, a real, real threat to his throne of the greatest quarterback in the game right now. He knows who's coming to town. And I think they got a little bit of a, you know, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson thing going on where they, oh, well, you did this on Sunday? Watch me Monday night. I'm going to do this. Oh, you did that on Thursday? Watch me on Sunday. I'm going to do this. I don't think there's any doubt. This is a friendly rivalry where they both want to be king and they're both playing at very, very high levels. So that's where it's amazing. And Buffalo's better than last year. They are better. I understand that. I'm shocked that it's still a 3-point spread, but I do think they're a much better football team, and especially when their defense is healthy. And that's where they're different, I think, going into this matchup as to years past. Their defense has legit playmakers on it now. Their defensive line is truly a force to be reckoned with, where the last few years I felt like they were doing it with smoke and mirrors with great coaching from Leslie Frazier and McDermott. Now they got the Jimmys and the Joes to go with the X's and O's, and that's why they're scary good on that side of the ball.
This has become the Tom Brady-Peyton Manning rivalry
right.
We'd been waiting for ever since Manning retired.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of possibilities out there. We were constantly scanning the NFL landscape for which will kind of organically become it, and it is, because they keep meeting in the postseason. That's the key. It's good to meet in the regular season. Meeting in the postseason is what makes that Manning-Brady rivalry. And to do that, you have to be pretty damn good. You got to run your division. You got to own your division. You got to keep getting back to the playoffs, and these two teams are positioned to do that now and into the future, Chris.
Yeah, they are, and I'm hoping that it is, you know, Brady and Manning. That was one of the things I asked Josh Allen when I was up there this summer. Just like, do you realize like you're in the middle of this right now? Like, and you know, he was like, yeah, I don't think about it a lot, but I do realize it. He's not stupid. He understands what's going on here. And I think what's different too is there's a real admiration and respect and liking of the other guy. Where Peyton and Brady, I think, had respect. I don't think when they were playing they liked each other. They probably, like, I didn't feel that way. This one, I feel like there's a little bit of a bromance and a little bit like of like, hey, you do this, but watch me one-up you here. And that's where it's a little different too. But nonetheless, I think the pressure will be real. And like you said, I think there's a good chance this dictates who's the number one seed in the AFC and does get, you know, the game and the playoff games held on their turf.
And I think it's personality driven too. I mean, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, neither guy wants anyone else to be in that mega spotlight. They want to be the guy.
Yeah, right.
And I think there's a greater sense of sharing with Mahomes and Allen.
Yeah.
I understand they can be stars, but other people can be stars as well. Who's playing better right now between the two in your mind?
I'm going to go with Allen. I mean, it's not easy to say, but for my money, Allen's the MVP of football so far to this point. He is, and you know, even losing the game to the Dolphins, I understand that. But damn, I mean, they had what, half their team out? I mean, literally, I'm not joking. Out of the 22 starters, I think it was half the team that didn't play, and he was still amazing in a one man show. And then they would come back in Baltimore in a slop fest, rainy, had a lot of, you know, balls dropped, balls go through guys' hands, interceptions. But, you know, other than those two games where they weren't just absolutely dominant, I mean, he's been phenomenal. He's like Mahomes, I think even more to a level this year where it's like he's got the cheat code, like we talked about after the Tennessee game on Monday night, or like what we saw last week. It's just like there's a thing here right now with Allen where it's like you can't be right. It's going to have to take a special effort on the defensive side of the ball because he could beat you with his brain and accuracy and decisions. And then we know he's got arguably the strongest arm in football. And then, oh, wait, none of that's there. And then he can get out of the pocket and run along with a quarterback design run. So I'll give the edge to Allen right now. But Mahomes is playing damn good football too.
We've talked about the two biggest games for Week 6. We'll pivot to some of the other Week 6 matchups with a grab bag when this Thursday edition of PFT Live, presented by Google Pixel, continues right after this.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
I am no fashion expert, but the backward hat with the tuft of hair carefully manicured through the hole at age 45, that's a bold choice.
I didn't mention that Jimmy G's starting to let the salt and pepper come through, but I know how this movie ends. Eventually, he's going to see it. And then he's going to show up looking like Creed from The Office the day that all of the toner from the copy machine ended up on his head.
Bill Belichick, looking at a guy who's never worn a suit and tie before in his life. Hey, Bill Belichick, that's how you wear a suit. What the hell is he wearing? Is that a cloak? Is it a poncho?
Does look like he might pull out his, you know, saber and fight Darth Vader.
I don't know if he's just embracing the dark side fully and completely or what.
Well, he's now a Sith Lord.
Well done. Well done. The
look at you, the fashion expert.
The mashup of some of these guys make it too easy. Creed with Jimmy G's face, that's well done. That actually looked like a real person. Like, there's somebody out there walking around that looks just like that. Can we pull that up? I thought that was very... There it is. That
is really
perfect,
good.
And it's just kind of horrifying.
A little scary, exactly right. It's almost too good and too real. It's, yeah. They morphed two people together there.
But anyway,
that was good, though. I like you. You're a fashion expert for the guy who just grabs the most available shirt on the couch next to his bed.
Oh, and let me tell you something.
Oh, that thing smells today?
Yeah, like it didn't get washed last week, and
you don't have to wear it. You can wear something else. I mean,
but it's the Thursday tradition.
Okay,
the people expect it, and it just makes it easier for me to sleep a little bit later on Thursday, so I don't have to find like a shirt and iron it and make sure it's clean. This was in the barn last Thursday night
for
the Colts Broncos game,
and as those of
you who noticed what I said on Twitter, usually I have a cigar the second half of the game. This week I'm going to go score some meth for the second half of this one. So there's a different kind of funk coming from the PFT quarter zip this Thursday.
Wait, also, you sent out that picture of your bar, right? And, you know, people were looking at the drinks. You got vodka there? Like, I'm a vodka drinker. It didn't look like you had any vodka. It looked like a whole bunch of...
You know what?
Nestled
between the right side of the bar and the refrigerator with all the magnets is a half gallon of Tito's.
Okay.
So there is vodka.
All right, good.
It just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit on any of the shelves. And by the way, my nephew built that thing by hand with wood from trees that we cut down on our property.
Whoa,
so
look at that.
That's the place to
be. Paul Bunyan over there, huh?
We'll be down there. Very, very well done. But you can't quite make out the half.
I kind of see it over there a little bit. I do see that big bottle of 1942 front and center on the top. Can't hide money.
Yes.
Can't hide that cash. He's buying the big baller bottles now.
Some asshole I know bought me a bottle of it once for Christmas and gave me a taste for it.
Yeah,
like a drug pusher.
Got you hooked.
Like he's got stock in Don Julio. Buy your friends a bottle of Don Julio, and then they'll acquire a taste for it, and they'll start. It's ridiculous how much it costs.
It is.
I rarely drink it. Every time I drink it, I think, I can't believe I'm drinking this. It's too expensive. All right, grab bag time for week 6. Ravens at the Giants. Ravens are 3-2. Giants somehow are 4-1. Fill in the blank for me, Christopher. I'll believe the Giants are for real if they what?
Win this weekend. I'm going to make it simple. I mean, again, I'm definitely on the fence. I'm a Giants fan. This is awesome. 4-1. Wow. I guess I should believe they're somewhat real after beating the Packers last weekend. But, you know, there's elements about their game that we know. It's not all that impressive. They're really just playing mistake-free football and playing the proper way. And they've been fortunate with their schedule to play some teams that they match up well with. And, listen, I think they match up well with the Ravens this weekend. I don't think it's like crazy to think that the Giants can't beat the Ravens. You don't think Wink Martindale and company, the Giants have a pretty good defense. You don't think he knows that offense a little bit to slow down Lamar. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, the Ravens defense still stinks. It stinks. They were better last week. They played more conservatively. But, man, the Bengals offense and what they do is elementary, too. It's like a third-grade offense. I mean, all you got to do is, you know, I've been saying it for the last 2 weeks. Jamar Chase runs two routes. It's not hard to figure out Cincinnati. It's all relying on their talent. They don't do anything. So I don't know how much better I feel about Baltimore. I feel the Giants win this one. I'm going to go, okay, they're a legit, like, playoff football team.
I think they already are for real.
Yeah.
And regardless of what happens in this one, they're at the Jaguars, at the Seahawks, bye week, Texans, Lions at home before the Thanksgiving showdown with the Cowboys. One of those games that didn't look all that great when they pulled the sheet off the schedule in May, but wow, that middle game on Thanksgiving, they're going to have 60 million people tuned into that one if these Giants and Cowboys continue on the track they're on.
You're
so
right.
I think they're already for real, and I won't be surprised.
Okay.
I've been struggling.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Map out my picks
right
for week 6. I've been struggling with Giants and Ravens. Patriots at the Browns. Both are 2-3. Buy or sell, if Bailey Zappe starts and plays well against the Browns, there will be a quarterback controversy in New England.
Well, I'm selling that. Is this just the new thing we are involved in the NFL? Backup quarterback comes in, plays one game and looks good, and now we talk about, should he start over the guy that we've seen is pretty damn good and proven already? Like, Mac Jones took them to the playoffs as a rookie with a team that we all looked at and went, their offense ain't that talented. You know, Bailey Zappe's done well, okay? He's done well. That game played out perfectly for him the other day. At one point, he was 5-for-7 for 60 yards and an interception, and they were up 13-0. So it wasn't because of Bailey Zappe, all right? It wasn't. You know, they got into a game where because Dan Campbell and Jared Goff decided just to spot New England 13 points to where They could run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Oh, now it's a play-action pass and somebody's wide open. Here you go, a completion. Whoa, woo, look at that. He's executing the offense. So, no, I'm not ready to go there. It's been very good. It's been solid. But, come on, it's one game against a shitty Lions defense and a horrible management of the game by Dan Campbell.
I will say this, though.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick has had two opportunities this week
right.
to say that Mac Jones is the starter when healthy, and he hasn't. It happened again yesterday, and he doesn't answer the question. And why don't you just say Mac Jones is the starter when he's healthy? What's the harm in that, especially as it relates to your relationship with Mac Jones? And I say that because
yeah.
I continue to have reason to believe there's something going on between Mac Jones and the team right now. And yeah. I know it seems like it's not the kind of thing that happens with the Patriots. They're all programmed. They're all robots. Nobody ever pushes back against the system.
Right.
But I feel like something's going on there, and that may be the root cause of Belichick's reluctance to declare that Mac Jones is the starter when healthy. So I think the door is still open for Bailey Zappe just because there may be something that's askew between Jones and the Patriots. 49ers 3-2, Falcons 2-3. Scale of 1 to 10, what's your confidence level in the 49ers overcoming a slew of injuries which seems to hit them, seems to bite them every other year or
right,
so, this
right.
struggle to get through their injuries?
Yeah, no, I mean, my confidence level in them is still pretty high. I'm going to put it at an 8 out of the 10. It's unfortunate, you know, and I think that's also what's amazing. I mean, as dominant as they were last week, again, I mean, Bosa came out of the game pretty early. Eric Armstead hasn't played in a few weeks. Javon Kinlaw has been in and out of the lineup. And they're still, like, you just go, well, they're still the most dominant defense in football, for my money. You know, that's what's amazing about them. Now, the thing that stinks about the injuries this week is just the fact that, you know, Atlanta can run the football, and they've run the football just on about everybody. Now, the 49ers are the best run defense in football, so I'm excited to kind of see that matchup. But I still look at the 49ers as extremely good, and if they can just weather the storm through these injuries and these guys get back here in a few weeks, watch out. I think everything's pointing in the right direction for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I really believe that. And they're a team, you know, we're seeing teams out there that have inflated records that are barely beating their opponents, like the Vikings in a very fictitious and false 4-1. The 49ers, when they hit their groove and they come up against a team that they're better than, they kick the crap out of them.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that's going to happen again this weekend to the Falcons. Panthers 1-4, Rams 2-3. What number will be higher in this game? Matthew Stafford sacks or Rams touchdowns?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to say sacks, though. I am. I'm going to say sacks. You know, they might score 3 touchdowns and maybe 2 field goals and have 27 points, but I'm going to say he gets sacked more than 3 times in this game. I am. And then what's unfortunate for them a little bit is you don't know exactly what to expect now from the Carolina defense. You know, it's a good thing. Hey, oh, they're changing coaches and they're in a little turmoil in Carolina. But the other part of it is, wait, they fired their defensive coordinator, and now the new head coach is the coordinator, and they could have some wrinkles and things that, you know, are not on film or that have not been part of their DNA on that side of the ball. So I'll go with more sacks than TDs. What about you, Michael?
Yeah, I will as well. There's been 21 sacks so far for Matthew Stafford this year. That's tied with Matt Ryan for most in the league. He was sacked 5 times, Stafford was, against the Cowboys in Week 5. By the way, Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald both missed practice on Wednesday with foot injuries. No indication they're going to miss the game. But you know, as I said, I think on Tuesday, as we were reacting to the firing of Matt Rhule, the Rams are in the best spot here because they get the Panthers first with this turmoil, with only 6 days for Steve Wilks and a revamped coaching staff to get ready. So that's good news for the Rams, who desperately need a win this weekend. Let's take a break. When we return, the latest updates on the Dolphins quarterbacks is Tua returns to practice and Teddy Bridgewater remains in the protocol. Is it going to be Skylar Thompson on Sunday against the Vikings? We'll discuss that when PFT Live, presented by Google Pixel, continues right after this.
When talking about this week and playing, I don't see a scenario. I don't see him being active, I do not plan to have him play at all. Teddy's whole week is going to be he's just getting back and able to do and work with the trainers today. Tomorrow he'll be able to do a little bit of football in a limited capacity. As a result, we'll be moving forward with planning on starting Skylar Thompson this week.
There it is, straight from Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel. Skylar Thompson, a guy who was a preseason phenom for the Dolphins, getting his first career start most likely this weekend. I remember a time when coaches weren't supposed to say anything at all about guys in the concussion protocol. Maybe the rules changed and I didn't notice, or maybe they're not enforced. But bottom line is, guys are ready when the doctors say they're ready. And especially with Tua, Chris, I feel like the standard that's going to apply to him before he ever gets back on the field again is going to be much higher than it's ever been for any player in the history of the league. And I don't say that with hyperbole. I mean it. It's going to be higher for him than it's ever been for anyone to get back on a football field.
Yeah, I you're right. I mean, the optics of the situation call for that, let alone I think the reality of the situation calls for it. I mean, those are two significant head injuries, a.k.a. back and foot injuries. What the hell, right? I mean, come on. I mean, I really am still sitting here going, that first game against the Bills, his back and ankle hurt because his body almost collapsed because his head couldn't control the rest of his body. So I'm sure he did have an injury in the back and the leg when your body crumbles because your brain's just been crushed for a second. You know, they got to be careful. That's two big concussions in a short, you know, period of time, to where you want to make sure that heals and like you said, the optics of it and all that. The Teddy Bridgewater one's the one that I guess I was surprised to learn about yesterday. Again, there still seems to be that, you know, Teddy doesn't think he had a concussion. There's a lot of challenging of the spotter who thinks they saw a stumble, and nobody seems to think that there really was, but they're not going to push back on it right now in this environment. I was surprised that they called him out this quickly and that he's still in some sort of protocol here, you know, going into the Thursday practice.
And remember, Teddy had a pretty bad concussion last year and missed several games, and I think the diagnosis from the spotter that there was ataxia, that's the new buzzword that replaces gross motor instability, that may have been an overreaction. And as I've said many
seems
times,
like it, but
I'd rather be an overreaction than underreaction. But as to Tua, here's my concern.
Right.
And look, I felt bad saying this a couple of weeks ago, and I've said it a few times and I've refined it. But the bottom line is this: if you're not big enough to play in the NFL, you better be adept at protecting yourself. And if you're either normal-sized like me, if you're that and you can't get rid of the football quickly, come up with some way to avoid taking big hits, you're not going to last. And it's ultimately going to be no different than not being fast enough, not being strong enough, not being big enough, not being good enough. If you can't protect yourself, and you're going to go out there at 6'1", 190, and I would debate both of those measurements for Tua Tagovailoa after meeting him in person. He ain't 190, and I don't think he's 6'1". If you're that size, and, you know, unlike you, Chris, or any of the other various quarterbacks who have come down the closest beanstalk, you grab a guy like that and you throw him to the ground, he's going to be more likely to get ragdolled and hit his head.
Right.
So we never saw Drew Brees get hit like that.
Yeah.
Why? Because he knew, I got to get rid of the football, they're going to throw me around like a ragdoll.
Right, or just go down. And he's a bigger man than Tua, too, to that point. But,
if you can't do it, it's no different than not being fast enough, not being strong enough, not being big enough, not being good enough. There's a point where you just can't play in the NFL if you're that size and you can't protect yourself. And there's no birthright to be in the NFL. And just because you've been in the NFL doesn't mean you get to stay in the NFL. If you can't protect yourself and you can't avoid these head injuries, you're not going to last in the NFL, because at some point they're just not going to clear you to play.
Yeah, listen, I echo those same sentiments. I think that's one of the things I texted right then the night it happened right away. Like, this is the dangers of having a small quarterback in our little PFT group text change. I mean, it is. Again, we saw Mahomes and Brady get ragdolled the same way. Their heads didn't hit the ground. And, in fact, Grady Jarrett had more of a hold on Brady. And Brady's light and stressed out and looks like he's skin and bones right now. But, again, like, you know, I think that's something that you and I have tried to tell people. And I've even had, you know, some people at the gym come up to me and be like, hey, I heard what you said. I never thought about that. Yeah, you're not going to ragdoll Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady to the extent of a guy like you're saying that's 6 foot, you know, maybe 200 pounds. And let alone, we've seen a lot of other hits in his short NFL career where we just go, holy cow, did he get crushed there? So he's got to get a little bit better at that, to your point. It's a brutal sport. And you're right. It's fair is not in the contract. So you got to earn it and stay healthy and do all that. And I'm a card-carrying member of protect yourself in the pocket, or you can get your body effed up in a big way, okay? And that's certainly, for a smaller guy, even and holds more water than that.
I remember a former Dolphins quarterback who played college football up the road from me here in Morgantown, Pat White.
Yeah.
He took one big hit from Mike Taylor, and that
was it.
Right. Done. Over. And look, I admire the courage, almost brazen and reckless from Tua to put himself in those spots and get himself potentially injured. But you're going to get to the point where they're not going to let you play anymore if you can't keep yourself from suffering these head injuries. And I think it's going to be a while before he's back on the field now. And maybe part of letting him back on the field is making sure he understands the importance of avoiding similar outcomes and having his head hit the ground or otherwise putting himself unnecessarily in harm's way and not taking a sack, bailing out, throwing the ball away, and that's what he's going to have to learn. Another injury note for the Miami Dolphins, Tyreek Hill. We mentioned this on Sunday night, Football Night America. He was in a walking boot, but I was told it wasn't anything serious other than the fact that he's in a walking boot. They do expect him. They're optimistic that he'll play. They don't expect him to play. They're optimistic, glass half full, that walking boot comes off and Tyreek Hill plays against the Vikings on Sunday. And regardless of who the quarterback is, you need that guy who's going to strike fear in the defense, especially when you can give him a quick pass and he can cut right through. The defense we saw do the Keystone Cops routine earlier when we watched the Justin Fields highlight. If they can't track down Justin Fields, they got no chance against Tyreek Hill.
No, you're right. And when you have a guy like Skylar Thompson, or, you know, it's you need a guy like that because of, like, what you're saying, the stress he puts on the defense, you know. Him and Waddle together, coupled with how McDaniels calls the game, he puts defenses in a bind, and they have to play a certain way that maybe they don't want to play because they got to protect, like what you're talking about. They might throw a screen to this guy, and he goes 70 up the sideline. They might throw a slant. Whoa, this guy went this way, this guy went this way. You know, and that would chop a big leg out of what Skylar Thompson and his first start as an NFL quarterback could maybe do. He looked pretty good in the first game. He certainly wasn't deer in the headlights or anything like that. You know, that was a tough situation, and he made some nice throws. And I'd like to remind people, the game was 19-17 with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The Dolphins missed a field goal, a long field goal. The Jets got a short field and few plays, touchdown. The next drive was a strip sack fumble, short field, touchdown, and the game was kind of over. And then the Dolphins had to go for it on fourth down, backed up. And that, so the 40-17 is very misleading. That game was very even with Skylar Thompson in the football game. And I don't put it past the Dolphins and them to be able to win this football game against Minnesota, who, you know, like you've said a few times in the show, not, they're 4-1. Respect. I like what, you know, Kevin O'Connell's doing. I'm not sure it's a real 4-1 yet. I think
no,
we're both
not
in agreement.
It's not
there. Yeah, right.
It's okay. Not.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm on with Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings, every Wednesday morning,
yeah.
9 o'clock his time, and right out of the gates to start his show. And I say it almost every week. This is a team that seems destined to get to the playoffs, maybe win in the wild card round, and then come up against a great team in the divisional round and get destroyed. Whether it's the 49ers, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Bucks. There's a ceiling on what the Vikings can do this year, and I don't care what their record is, and I don't care if they get lucky and keep drawing these inside straights and parlay it all the way to the one seed in the NFC. That divisional round is when they're going to have somebody that they come up against that is clearly better than them. Now, I guess there's a chance that they get better before our eyes and develop more confidence, and but I just feel like I've seen this movie end for the Vikings this way. Pretty much every year since they made it to the Super Bowl, when they've been good, they run up against somebody that's better at some point before they can get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I hear you. I know. I mean, I have that same feel for them as we sit here right now. But we'll see. Maybe they grow as a football team and continue to get better here. You know, and like we talk about, sometimes, yeah, they're still working out the kinks, a new offense, new defense on both sides of the ball. At least it's positive energy. You know, that's for sure. They seem to believe in themselves a little that way. And, you know, fortunate. Yeah, you're fortunate the way the schedule is shaked out. They're just fortunate that you're going to get to play the Dolphins with a third-string quarterback to where maybe you could be sitting here 5-1. And, oh, wow, now we go to the bye week, and, okay, we regather and continue to play better football to where they can maybe be a force. But I'm with you. I don't think they're in the class of, you know, like you're saying, the Eagles, Tampa, the 49ers, Dallas. Not yet. I'm not ready to put them in that class, that's for sure.
If we would have had this conversation on September 8th as the season was beginning 5 weeks ago today, and I would have told you that when the Jets and Packers prepare to play each other, they have the same record. Regardless of what that record is, we never would have dreamed they'd have the same record through five games, whether it's both 5-0 or both 0-5 or somewhere in between. They're both 3-2. Aaron Rodgers has a thumb injury, did not practice on Wednesday. Let's hear straight from the goat's mouth on the status of his thumb and whether it's going to slow him down for the Jets this weekend.
Yeah, thumb's all right. It was nice to get a day off today, do a little rehab. But, you know, I'll try and get back out there and practice tomorrow and see how it feels and be fine by Sunday, I'm sure. In the moment, you're still kind of got the adrenaline going. Once the adrenaline wore off and got on the bus, got back to the airport on the plane, I knew that it was banged up a little bit. But it's gotten better since then every day. And I've been blessed with big, strong hands all my life, and I expect to be out there throwing it like normal.
Yeah, look, he'll be fine. Big, strong hands.
He does. He's got as big a hand as I've ever seen. Yeah.
What happened to his thumb to injure it? But I guess the bigger the thumb, the easier it is for someone to hit it or step on it or whatever. But it sounds like he'll be fine. And hey, something he said, I think this was after the Giants loss, the margins are very thin for them this year. They're not blowing anyone out. They're not kicking the crap out of anybody. The 27-10 against the Bears was misleading. It was a close game in the fourth quarter.
Right.
They need all the help they can get, and you weren't here Monday when we talked about this. The comment that Jair Alexander made, I'm not panicked losing to the Giants, but if we lose to the Jets, then maybe I will be concerned. Rodgers called him out. There were guys in the locker room talking about losing to the Jets, and he was very upset about the negative energy that brings to the team. So there's at least a conversation in the building that this is a Jets team that could beat them. Now, that's better than not taking them seriously, but it's a different vibe. This is not the 13-3 assembly line that we've seen under Matt LaFleur. They're going to have to fight and scratch and claw for every win.
I think so, too. I do. And even last year when they were, you know, whatever, 14-3 or 13-4, whatever the hell they were, it wasn't a, oh, wow, look at them blow teams out all the time. To me, and you heard me say this a million times last year, I thought they played it too close to the vest last year. And now they still play that same style, but they don't have Davante Adams, and they're not quite as good on the offensive side of the ball. And I feel like Rodgers, because of the youngness of the receivers, doesn't trust them, and he just wants to throw everything short and get it out of his hands. And as you've heard me say a number of weeks in a row, and this still holds true over the last week, there's still plays where he drops back, and I go, you're Aaron Rodgers. That guy's open. You got to throw it. You got to throw it. That's great. You threw it in the flat and got a completion, and it's 2nd and 7. But that throw over the middle could have been 1st and 10, you know, 40 yards down the football field. And that's where, it to me, it's got to change. And they let every team hang in there against them. So that's the defense has been good, but it's a little bend, don't break-ish. It's not great or dominant that way. And the offense can have great consistency. But, you know, when you're a dink-and-dunk football team, what we saw last week in the second half, one sack or, you know, one negative run, and all of a sudden, whoa, it's hard for us to overcome 2nd and 14 or 3rd and 12. And they have issues there. And then, you know, they're better than the Jets, but this is scary. The Jets are like what we talk about all the time, have a little belief and a little swagger in their step right now. And that's where it's, you know, going to be fun to watch a little bit here, because the pressure's on the Packers this weekend, that's for sure.
Yeah, another really good game this weekend, because we have the Jets at 12 and I think the Packers at 9 in the power rankings. So several games this weekend pitting some of the best teams in the sport so far. We'll take a break. Feats of strength from week 5 when this Thursday edition of PFT Live presented by Google Pixel continues right after this. Matchup draft time for week 6. We'll be a third of the way through the season when this week concludes. So anything that attracts your attention, anything that tickles your fancy, Chris, for this weekend, you've got the first selection.
Oh, well, you're nice because we know what the first selection is, right? I mean, we know.
What?
We
what?
Know. Giddy up, Josh Allen versus my homie, my homie, my homie. Yeah. Freaking Mahomes versus Allen? I mean, come on. I don't give a damn that they're not really against each other. They're against each other. These teams are built through the quarterback. And it's all about how they play and the pressure they put on, you know, the opposing team, let alone we know there's a real rivalry here. Whether it's, you know, Manning Brady or Magic and Bird, whatever, it has that feel to it. And we've seen specialness from both of these guys, and both of these guys are on their A game right now. So that's where, to me, that's the marquee matchup of the weekend to see these two go at it.
There are some intriguing matchups in many of the games, but if we're going to focus on the best games of the weekend, the best matchups embedded in those, I'll go Jalen Hurts against the Cowboys defense.
Yeah.
Because Jalen Hurts becoming a franchise quarterback before our eyes, but not quite at the level of the best guys in the game, facing arguably the best defense in the game right now. Cowboys and 49ers, the only teams who have not yet given up at least 20 points in any game this year. Will Jalen Hurts be able to move the ball effectively, make good decisions, make good read, make good throws with that defense that the Cowboys have amassed? So that, to me, is the obvious game within the game on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, agreed. I'm with you there. That's something to watch for sure. And I even wrote down Eagles O-line versus that Cowboys D-line. I mean, it's the clash of the Titans. You're right about that. And the Dallas defense has been phenomenal. I mean, to what you just said there, I mean, that stat, the 49ers, 12 points per game. The Bills, 12 points per game. The Cowboys, 14 points a game, right? I mean, that's amazing. In the era right now that we're playing in, where everything is skewed for the offense to score points and make plays, it says something about the talent and the coaching those teams got. All right, my next one, I'm going to go to the Patriots and Browns, and I'm going to go the Pats O-line versus the Browns D-line. I mean, the Browns D-line is not good. Other than Myles Garrett, they are not good. They are not good in the interior part of their offensive line. Their linebackers are small. And now they're playing what I think is really the hottest running game in the sport right now. I mean, you look at it. The last 3 weeks, you can't stop New England running the football. They ran the ball right down the throat of the Ravens, right down the throat of the Packers, right down the throat of the Detroit Lions. And now you got a crappy run defense that let Austin Eckler and company run on them. I mean, that's when you know you're bad, when the Chargers are running on you. So I'm looking forward to that one.
I'm going to go down to the bayou here because Joe Burrow is back in New Orleans, back in the Superdome, back in the show. They're giving away a shirt that spells Burrow. Remember when they spelled it the Louisiana way with the E-A-B, whatever it was. It ends with an X.
E-A-U-X.
Vowels and an X.
Right.
But it ends with an X. And how about Andy Dalton? If he plays in this game, if he starts this game, it'll be the third straight year with three different teams that he starts against the Bengals.
He's like
the team for which
crazy.
He spent a decade.
Right.
Cowboys in 2020, Bears last year, Saints this year if that happens. So the whether it's Burrow, I guess the headline is Andy Dalton against the Bengals yet again, but Burrow back in New Orleans I think is also
Burrow in Louisiana is a better one. I like that one better. But yeah, Andy Dalton's right. Becoming the kiss of death here as the backup quarterback. He signs with your team, you're like, "Oh crap, it's like the Madden curse. Am I going to get hurt?" Cuz
it
seems
like
Fitzpatrick that
used to be.
Right.
Every
right.
team that Ryan Fitzpatrick signed with, the starter ended up getting hurt.
Amazing.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll do round 3 when PFT Live concludes right after this. All right, matchup draft, week 6 edition, round 3, starting now. Chris, who do you have?
Well, I'm going to go Giants to the G-Men and the Ravens. Yeah, big game at the Meadowlands in Jersey. And I look at the Wink Martindale, ex-defensive coordinator for the Ravens, versus Greg Roman. I don't know what happened with the Wink Martindale marriage of the Baltimore Ravens. I don't, but he is, for my money, one of the best defensive minds in the sport. And you know, now he's going to get a chance to show what he knows about this Greg Roman, Lamar Jackson offense. I find that to be intriguing and kind of who knows each other better to have that trick or two to help them win the football game.
Well, and he's going to know Lamar Jackson as well as anyone after being there for his entire career until this season. And that defense hasn't been as good without him. I'm fascinated by the Sean McVay Kyle Shanahan proxy war that's going to play out in Miami between Shanahan protege Mike McDaniel and McVay former lieutenant Kevin O'Connell. And we'll see what these guys can cook up offensively to score enough points to try to win the game. And that's just one that they're not going to play each other but once every 4 years. But that's one that's got some intrigue for me, Chris.
It does, definitely. I think, you know, we know, hey, Skylar Thompson or not, the Miami offense is dangerous. So that's going to be fun to watch. And I don't think your Vikings defense is special. And then on the other side of the ball there, we know the Dolphins will play some aggressive defenses. And the Vikings can run the ball. And, you know, when they get that going, watch out because it's Justin Jefferson time versus some one-on-one coverage. That could be a very fun watch as far as the football game goes.
Another one we were talking about during break, the LaFleur brothers get together in Green Bay when Mike, the offensive coordinator of the Jets, comes to visit Matt, the head coach of the Packers. We'll see how that one goes. We're out of time. Picks podcast coming up, though. We'll see you soon.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.